You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're back in the sports bar with Danger and Pataglia. I was racking my brain trying to think the last time that we had John Waro on with us. And Gene, I think it's been since training camp. It's great to hear the voice of John Waro of the Associated Press and in the sports bar with Danger and Pataglia to talk some Bills and some Sabres. John, how have you been?
Oh, not bad. Kind of busy stretch with all these Sabres home games, and kind of an ugly stretch with all these Sabres home games.
Yeah, I mean, John, when I reached out to you last week, we really wanted to get, and I want to talk about the stadium and where you think that story might be going, because you're right at the forefront of reporting on that story. But if we can start on the Sabres here, and you know what you saw last night,
or
if
you could,
John, big picture here. I mean, you've been covering this team for a long time. What is the state of the Sabres right now as we stand?
Okay, the state of the Sabres right now as we stand is essentially, and I know the fans don't want to hear this. I know people don't want to hear this. But there are still lingering, this is the lingering toxicity that goes back to the tank. The losing culture that was established with this organization back in 2014 and 15, it continues to linger on today, and it's going to take somebody, whether it's Jason Botterill or whomever, to cut those cancerous pieces out. And when I say cancerous, it's a toxic. You know, it's a bad. I'm not going to name names, but there are. It just seems that people have become accustomed to losing, and that goes back to 2014 and 15. And the players that are there, and God bless Rasmus Ristolainen for what he's had to put up with. You know, I said I wasn't going to name names, but God bless him for what he's had to put up with. But I just get the sense that right now, he is feeling the brunt of frustration and disappointment, and perhaps a change really is necessary for him. And I think he's probably coming back to that realization now, you know, after he popped off last night and called this and, you know, called that game an expletive that I can't repeat on radio. But this is where we're at, and it's going to take fresh blood, a new core, and Jack Eichel is definitely part of that core.
Who else would you put in that core, though, John? Because, I mean, we debate all the time about, you know, Jack is having a career season, one of, you know, the best season he's had as a pro, and it's being wasted with the rest of the pieces around him. But, you know, for me, there's three untouchables. It's Eichel, it's Dahlin, and it's Reinhart. Tell me if you think I'm wrong on that. Is there anybody else that you would say right now, no, you can't do anything with that? I mean, I guess Skinner has a lot of money tied up in his contract as well.
I would trade Reinhart. I mean, I think he's at the value, he's at the peak of his value right now, and I would trade him because I'm just not sure if he fits into this team moving forward. He can't center his own line. He's going to be asking for a price that's probably going to be in the $4 to $5 million range, when his contract comes up. And I just don't know if he fits on this team as a second line guy. I just don't see it. He only seems to produce when he's on with Jack Eichel. He can't produce on his own line. And I think that, whenever the Sabres team gets good, I just don't see him part of that mix. And he's a tradable asset. And I would move him, and I would move Rasmus Ristolainen probably second because he's a very tradable asset. But I think this is the road that they're going to have to confront either at the trade deadline or this offseason, because the players that are coming up through the system, some of them still 2 or 3 years away, are going to form the core of this team around Jack Eichel. And it's good that I think the Sabres are finally seeing that they can build around Eichel, because he's been a leader on and off the ice, and he's developed into the player that I think is even surprising me from where he was maybe a year or 2 years ago.
Agreed.
John, what is rock bottom for this team? Could it could it be tomorrow night? I mean, you might beat Detroit, but John, how many people might actually be in that arena tomorrow night?
Well, and I get the fans' frustration, but this is a team that is still trying to find itself under a new coach that is still in transition and is still and is proven capable of playing some acceptable hockey. We saw that Saturday afternoon against Columbus, and they've been, well, except for take away the Ottawa and Montreal games, they've been able to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. And if they lose against Detroit, then it that would be rock bottom, because they play them twice, I think, in 2 days, in 10 days. But I feel bad for Jason Botterill. He's made some mistakes, but he's been doing his. I think he definitely deserves at least one more year, because this is part of his plan, and he's working with a new coach to change GMs at this point. I think would set the franchise back. Unless there's a belief that they need a new set of eyes on this team.
Yeah, John, I was going to go right there and ask you about Jason Botterill next, because I know the fans want blood, but I also know that this guy's been preaching development from day one, and unfortunately for the fans, that impatient fans, that development does take time, and the pieces that are marinating right now here in Rochester that might eventually end up in Buffalo are going to make that team's future, and those are the guys that you can hold Jason Botterill accountable to. But I don't know, has he shown enough this season where, and you know, the Pegulas, I mean, you know, do you think the Pegulas will have the kind of patience that is required for what Jason Botterill's plan is moving forward?
Right, and I understand that, and I, you know, I haven't spoken to the Pegulas, you know, this season. I do know, you know, obviously they're frustrated. You know, Jason Botterill acknowledged that yesterday, on local radio. But you know, and they care very much about this team. And the problem that we're finding is, you know, previously, you know, Kim Pegula said they can't listen to the fans and make knee-jerk decisions. And as much as everybody wants blood, I think we seem to be, and I think I've said this on Twitter and other places, we're at the the fans are renting out the billboard and asking Ralph Wilson to clean house stage of the Sabres drought, as happened back in, when Dick Turan was coach. Is Jason Botterill part of the future? I think he deserves one more year. But that's up to the Pegulas to know, because I'm not, you know, I don't know what the discussions have been like. I don't know what plan was put forward. But if Jason Botterill, it does become expendable, I believe he is leaving this franchise in a better state than it was when Tim Murray was fired.
Where do you come down on the question of should there be a team president? You had Ted Black, you had Russ Brannon, not exactly a hockey guy, but you've had people with authority in that position. Does Jason Botterill need more help, or is that even feasible, John?
I don't see adding a layer of bureaucracy into this mix right now. I don't know how it would help, because at this point, you would be cutting off Jason might as well just resign if they're going to be bringing somebody else in, because it would be a vote against what he's done. So let his plan work out, and if that plan does not work and you choose to go move in another direction, that's when you make a decision as to whether how many layers of management you need above the coach.
He's John Warrow of the Associated Press, joining us for a few more minutes here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. John, I want to get your viewpoint on the Bills stadium situation. We know that they did not opt out of their lease. That would have left them homeless here at the end of July. So they didn't really have
$28 million.
Right. So that really wasn't an option. You can't really fault them for not opting out of the lease. They now have through 2023, or at least the middle of 2023, to figure out what their next move is. We know that owners' meetings are coming up, that there will be heat applied to the Buffalo Bills. We also know that there's news out of Jacksonville with two less home games now at their stadium going to London. There's talk about Toronto. I mean, there's all of these little kind of like whispers happening around NFL league circles, and I think eventually the Bills stadium situation is going to get pushed up to the front burner, because it's not... Well, it's something that they haven't really told us what their plan is, and time is running out. How do you see all of this unfolding here with the Buffalo Bills stadium situation?
I really don't see time as running out. I believe there's a plan in place, and I still believe that they are eyeing downtown as a place for a new stadium, despite what Roger Goodell said going back in last week and going back and saying he would favor a major or significant renovation at New Era Field. I still think the plan has been, for the most part, the Pegula's pushing for something downtown. The city and county seem to be bracing for it privately. And I don't think time is running out, because at this point, the Pegula's are very sensitive to how much of a price this is going to be, how big of a lift this is going to be on the taxpayers, that they don't want to rush into this, and they want to at least allow the lease to run out. I'm not saying they won't make an announcement before 2020. I'm not saying they won't make an announcement before 2023, but they want to make sure that the taxpayer money that was put into New Era Field in the last renovations is used up entirely through the length of this lease. They don't want to be seen as making a hasty decision and leaving wasting taxpayer money. But that said, I expect, within a year or so, maybe the next couple of, probably within months, because Roger Goodell said months, that we will hear more on this front, and they will be approaching both state and county and city bodies to begin negotiations on how this is going to divvy up.
Who is the point person now from the PSE side? If they're going to make the ask here, and it's going to happen one day, press conference called, who is that person that is going to be negotiating with the state and the county, John?
Well, they hired about a year and a half ago Chris Shefflin, who used to work, who was the point man at Empire, the state's development corporation. The name escapes me, but his name is Chris Shefflin, and he's going to be probably the point person in working with the negotiations, because he's worked under Governor Cuomo, and he's familiar with the economic development needs and how that whole process works. I don't know if he was involved. He wasn't involved in the past negotiations, but he seems to be taking he'll likely be taking the lead on this. He's got connections, to Albany and to the county, because he's worked with these people before. So I imagine he'll be negotiating directly with Cuomo and Poland Cars and Byron Brown, because the city will have a stake in this in the event it does happen to go downtown.
John, a couple of things. One, you mentioned that you believe that their desire would be to go downtown, but we also know that there's a study out there that they independently had contracted out to kind of get the fans' point of view. And man, right. I don't know, if you take the temperature of most Bills fans I talk to, at least, they have no interest in a downtown stadium. They don't want things to change at all. They like their routine as it stands right now at New Era Field. I know that might be the desire of the NFL to get the shiny new toy and new object in downtown Buffalo. Do you get the same sense about where the Bills fans stand? And then the other part of what I wanted to ask you is, and this is my biggest fear, my biggest Chicken Little sky is falling fear, is, man, I think about taking the temperature of the average New York State taxpayer and asking them about a stadium in downtown Buffalo and what their reaction to that would be. And then I start to wonder and worry, has the NFL outgrown Western New York?
It hasn't, and here it really hasn't, because this team has proven that it's capable of filling a 72,000 seat stadium. Now, the stadium, should it go downtown, is going to be smaller, more probably in the 54,000 seat range. So there's going to be some price, a bit of a price boost on tickets. But however, keep in mind that I know how fans like to tailgate, and I know what that atmosphere is like in Orchard Park. But in the sense, from what I've heard, there is a belief that the Bills would like to monetize that tailgating experience and make it, unfortunately, into more of a controlled and corporate money making experience, where they can benefit, get more dollars out of it on their own. And actually have, the infrastructure around a new stadium that would feature bars and restaurants, which they and their developers might control. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it with Labatt House right now.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up infrastructure because that was on my list to ask you. Because, John, I compare it to a Sabre game I went to over the holidays and in the garage, and I'm waiting, and you've trapped. Is there infrastructure when it comes just the basic things like in and out of downtown Buffalo and whatnot? I mean, they do a good job with Orchard Park for the most part, but what are we talking about if they're going to put a stadium downtown? It's one thing to build the stadium, but what about the roads, the sewers, everything else that goes into that?
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, you know, I've driven past, you know, where the Ravens play downtown. It's near a highway, but it's downtown as well. And if you want to look at, you know, real difficult places to get to in some ways, you look at Pittsburgh and where their stadiums are and the access that you have to them, where you have to cross bridges or go over hills and mountains to get there. And yet they seem to be able to get it done right. And that's where the Metro Rail comes in, because I believe it can really serve a purpose, a bigger purpose than it has right now. And all you have to do really is to have to extend it one stop. It's going to cost money, but it's going to pay off as far as things go in the long run. Because when I went to a Pitt Louisville game with my wife a few years back, we didn't drive over. There's a train that has a station right at the stadium, and I think, you know, people can take more advantage of that. That will relieve some of the pressure. Now, mind you, I know there's a lot of out of town people that come into this, you know, come to Buffalo, but I think that there's enough parking and there'll be enough thought put into it where I believe that the city and the county will have to pony up some money on infrastructure. And as Byron Brown told me, the mayor of Buffalo last week, that the city is well poised to help the Bills out in any way they can as far as infrastructure needs go.
John Warrow of the AP, good with his time joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. John, before we let you go, I mean, look, we got to talk some football here as well. I mean, Greg Olsen, we hear, is in town taking a visit with the Bills today. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on Olsen potentially joining this team, as it looks like McDermott and Bean could be raiding the Carolina cupboard one more time. And also, you know, we look ahead to the draft. I don't know that we'll have the chance to talk to you again before April, but I hope we do. But if we don't, which direction do you see the team leaning? We've seen, mock draft. Now, like Tom McShay yesterday, having the Bills taking a running back, which I'm sure makes Bills fans go crazy.
Oof. No, I think it's too early though. I think, you know, I know the mock drafts are out there, and you know, but no one ever checks to see how much they've changed, or you know, by the time we get to April. And I really don't look at the draft seriously until we get to April and the combine is out of the way and the interviews are out of the way and everybody starts finding consensus of who the top 30 players are. Where the Bills are picking is going to make it difficult to know which direction they're going. But this is clearly a draft in which I see the Bills going with the best player available, because they can address numerous needs. They can either strengthen what's already a good defense or add, you know, if there's a receiver there that they like, that they believe that can fit and make an impact next season, then you take that person. So, I mean, they can go in so many directions that this is the best player available. Who's on their board at, 22? That's the one that they take, because this is now about strengthening the core of what's already a building team and making sure it has depth and impact players, all around it. I wouldn't be surprised if they use some of their later round draft picks and trade up in the second round or use them in the third round to add more players, to add better players, because I don't think there's going to be that much space on the roster available if they use all their picks.
John Warrow, very busy man. Certainly follow his work. Associated Press, John, great stuff. Let's do this again sometime. Really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, John. That's John Warrow of the Associated Press. If you came in late or if you missed it, we'll get it on demand for you shortly here at ESPNRochester.com or the radio.com app. Just search out the Sports Bar.
Yeah. And, if you go back to the beginning, where the Sabres are now today, this is still, he says, the lingering effect of the tank. Wow. Yeah, it worked for the Houston Astros. It's worked for other organizations. The Philadelphia 76ers.
You mentioned the Astros. You know what? They got to cheat. That's what they got to do.
Yeah.
They can get over if they just start cheating a little bit more. That's good. Let's get to I'll Drink to That, Gino. It's some takes on tap here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. You know, there was a lot of talk over the last 24 hours about Tom Brady to San Francisco. You heard it. I heard it. Initially, I kind of dismissed it. Like, what are you kidding me? The more I think about it, the more it isn't crazy. I'll explain why.
Now, when did this format really take off, sports radio? I'd say, okay, WFAN, that's the early 90s, late 80s. It's the same timeline of Pete Rose. Pete Rose is the evergreen story when it comes to sports talk radio and baseball fans, and everybody has an opinion. Pete Rose sent a letter today to the Major League Commissioner. He's got an interesting argument, and I want to deconstruct that and tell you whether Rose is right or whether he's wrong.
All right, I'll drink to that on the way next. You're in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.